You're listening to the Screaming Pods Network.
Hello, welcome to this episode of Just the Discs. My name's Brian Sauer. This is my podcast about Blu-rays. This week I'm talking about a really exciting new series called the MVD Rewind Collection. This is coming from MVD Entertainment Group, and I'm really excited about what they've put out so far and what's on the horizon for them. So today I'm going to be talking about the first three titles in the MVD Rewind Collection, but they have other stuff that I'm looking forward to as well, including things like Return of the Swamp Thing and Lionheart and Went to Coney Island on a Mission from God, Back by Five, which I don't think I've ever seen. Or no, I always get that confused with The Pompous of Love because John Cryer's in both movies. Savannah Smiles, which I liked a lot as a kid. I don't know how much I like it now. There's a movie called Wind Rider, which I've never seen or even really heard of. And then something called Abominable. This, what I'm told, is a really great Sasquatch Bigfoot horror movie. One of the best is coming from them. So that's a lot of really neat stuff to look forward to. But let me just jump into this stack here. I'm going to start with... Well, why don't I go in order? I'll start with the number one... At least according to the spine, the first disc that's part of this MVD Rewind Collection. And I should say, these discs are really cool because it's a DVD and a Blu-ray. It comes in a really neat slipcase that is done up to look like an old VHS tape, kind of like the Media Home Entertainment VHS tapes. And so the slipcover has, like, you know, old stickers on it and, you know, just looks a little beat up, but it's not. It's just drawn that way. And then when you slide it out of the case, you get to see that the cover actually, as it is really nice. But it's just a nice touch. And then inside each set is a full poster for the movie. And that's a really neat sort of eye on a collector's sensibility thing to do. So anyway, this first title is DOA, A Rite of Passage from 1981, I believe.
Just out of sight.
I like it for me, but...
It's garbage, man.
Better than homework.
They urinate on the audience.
Very loud.
When I saw Johnny Rotten's face, I thought I'd vomit. He's so beautiful.
If you ever want a breast mastectomy, just stand in the front, man, because they go wham like this.
Idea that the punk rock scene is born of social protest may or may not be true until they actually learn how to speak and enunciate the Queen's English and put their arguments forward in an intelligible fashion. I shall be quite unable to judge the validity of what they are alleged to think.
An awful lot of people who enjoy punk would really like to be back in those days when they could actually see physical people hacking each other to death.
He came and hit us over the head with a bass. He knew that I meant physical harm, and I have to say I was ugly about it.
What are you going to do?
Order, you want to move out?
Texas patrolman took me and threw me out the door.
Get off of me. Mister, you'll get hurt fast.
I represent the status quo. I represent orthodox government. I represent the democratic elective process. They represent none of those things, and that is why I and those whom I represent will win.
The back says, DOA, A Rite of Passage, is the groundbreaking classic rockumentary about the origin of punk rock, centered around the Sex Pistols' 1978 tour of the United States, which ended with the group breaking up. The tour was the only one the Sex Pistols played in the United States. Director Lech Kowalski followed the band with handheld cameras through the clubs and bars of their 7-city U.S. tour, mixing this with footage of their contemporary bands, trends in the fashion capitals, and punks of all shapes and colors. Kowalski captured a grainy, stained snapshot of the punk movement at its peak, which includes the now famous footage of Sid Vicious and Nancy Spungen in bed, along with rare interview and concert footage of the late 70s punk rock music scene, with live performances by the Sex Pistols, the Dead Boys, Generation X with Billy Idol, the Rich Kids, the X-Ray Specs, and Sham 69, along with additional music from The Clash and Iggy Pop. This iconic documentary is now available for the first time ever on disc. I did not realize it was getting its debut. But yeah, this is a really neat documentary. I like these sort of snapshot portraits of a period. It's just really neat kind of time capsule sort of thing where you get to see what a certain scene was like and the sort of authenticity of the fans and some of the artists of a certain period, you know? And the Sex Pistols are certainly incredibly iconic, and you can kind of see why based on the performances, the interviews. Obviously, the interview with Sid and Nancy in bed is pretty memorable.
Sid, he's not interviewing me. Please try and wake up. Could you want me to make you a cup of coffee?
That's my cigars. Yeah, could you?
Yes, I'll make you a cup of coffee. But will you try and fucking wake up, no, please? Because we gave him an interview.
Oh,
and he wanted a good interview. All right? Like, you're not talking intelligibly, you're falling asleep on your sunglasses. Wake the fuck up!
And it's interesting to see it in the context of this documentary, which I didn't realize that was where this came from. I mean, I'd seen that interview. I may have even excerpted it on the Sid and Nancy Criterion episode that I did, but I didn't know that I guess it comes from this documentary. But yeah, I really enjoyed this. It was a neat one. You know, the songs, the music are certainly appealing to me, so that helps. But overall, just a really nice package. The special features are pretty excellent too. High definition Blu-ray and standard DVD of the main feature, original 2.0 mono audio uncompressed, Dead on Arrival, the punk documentary that almost never was, a feature-length documentary about the making of DOA, a rite of passage, produced by award-winning filmmaker and former MTV senior producer Richard Schenkman, and featuring exclusive new interviews with punk magazine founder and Ramones cover artist John Holmstrom, renowned music journalist Chris Salwick, legendary photographer Roberta Bailey, Sex Pistols historian Mick O'Shea, former Rich Kid guitarist and Ultravox lead singer Midge Ure, and original DOA crew members David King, Mary Killen, Rufus Standifer, plus never-before-seen interview footage of Pistols founder Malcolm McLaren.
This was kind of a new kickstart for the original rock spirit of rock and roll. Rebellion, fast and loud, you know, fuck you.
You could feel it. I knew, I really could feel it. An inkling of there's something shifting, you know, there's lots of stuff going on, you know, it's interesting.
I think it was kind of a worldwide reaction to the Stooges, you know. To me, the Stooges, the New York Dolls, Alice Cooper, Brownsville Station, those are the bands that taught the early punks how to play rock and roll.
To me, punk wasn't totally unexpected. I could feel there was something like punk in the air. I didn't know what it was going to be, how it would manifest itself. I thought the New York Dolls, who were kind of 73, 74, had been a kind of that. I felt it would be something along those lines. I thought the Dolls were fantastic, by the way. I thought it was absolutely tremendous.
Towards the end of 1974, I met Richard Hell, and he was in a band called Television, and they started to play at CBGB's, or they were playing there just on Sunday nights. So their manager, Terry Ork, asked me if I would work the door and ask for the $2 admission. There were never very many people there, but it was interesting, and the band was really, I really liked Television when Richard was in it. They were kind of very unusual and not like anything I'd seen before. So I was very taken with them. And then little by little, the other bands came, the Ramones and the Dictators and Blondie, Talking Heads. They were all starting to play there and gaining some attention, although, you know, nobody had a record deal yet.
Well, I think what's interesting about the birth of punk which is in response to these kind of behemoth acts like Zeppelin and the Stones, for example. But what is very interesting about it always, and it's not just in the music, it's the do-it-yourself nature of it. You know, people did actually, you know, and it came out of places like, you know, Kensington Market, you know, where people had stores which were kind of, you know, slightly bohemian set up, slightly counterculture, and there were places on, you know, on, also on the King's Road, Beaufort Market, where Acme Attractions was, and where Bob Marley would sometimes venture down into the basement to get buy weed from Don Letts. So also the story goes.
That documentary is incredible. And I've heard a case made for it being better than the actual movie. And you can definitely, that's possible. It's an hour and 55 minutes, so it's really extensive. And I was incredibly impressed with that as a feature, you know, as this being my first disc of theirs that I saw. And for, as far as the MVD Rewind collection goes, I was pretty blown away. It just makes me excited for this whole line, you know. I love the emergence of these new boutique series, you know, and this one is going to be exciting, at least for me. I would assume my listeners would be fans of this kind of thing too, but it's just got a very interesting and varied pedigree as far as the kind of films they're doing, but this is a great start. There's also a 12-page booklet with liner notes written by John Holmstrom, founding editor of Punk Magazine, in the trailer, but that documentary, worth the price of admission alone, definitely worth the pickup. I really like this one. If you're into that sort of music documentary kind of thing, I think they can be a really neat movie experience. You know, just like I said, an interesting snapshot, and this is perfectly that. So that's DOA, A Rite of Passage. Next up, number two. These are numbered spines, by the way, in the MVD collection, Rewind collection, is the cult classic Attack of the Killer Tomatoes from 1978.
Across this great nation, almost everyone has been affected in one way or another by this terrible tomato onslaught. Mrs. Williams, I understand your husband is missing.
Yes,
do you think he's dead?
Will
you miss him?
Will
you marry again? What if he's laying in a ditch somewhere, like with both his legs broken, calling your name? You will have to find another man, you know. You're no spring chicken.
Lives are shattered. The nation is in chaos. Death and destruction sweeps the country. Four Square Productions presents perhaps the funniest film ever made.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. You've never seen a film like it. This is the incredible story of the world's ultimate disaster. Vicious man-eating tomatoes grow to monstrous proportions. Faced with this unprecedented menace, the president calls upon Mason Dixon, special agent. Aided by his trusty sidekick, Dixon begins to unravel the terrifying mystery of the deadly tomatoes. Dixon is getting close, too close for someone or something. Who could it be? The girl reporter? The ad executive? The press secretary? Or does it go higher? Join Mason Dixon in a race against time as he battles to save the world from the threat of nature's perfect eating machine, the killer tomato.
The back says, UFOs, Bigfoot, communists, the government has swiftly dealt with many a crisis, but can it survive the diabolical attack of the killer tomatoes? Just when you thought it was safe to go back in the supermarket, you're face to face with terror so bold, so frightening, it has never been seen on screen before or since. Not until the sequel, anyway. Actually, several sequels. After a series of bizarre and increasingly horrific attacks from pulpy red seeded fruit, Mason Dixon, David Miller, finds himself leading a crack team of specialists to save the planet. But will they be quick enough to save everyone? To save you? You can't run. You can't swim. There's nowhere to hide. The killer tomatoes are everywhere. So this is a, you know, an interesting, like I said, cult item. One of the earliest movies that made me familiar with the idea of what a cult film is. It was a big part of every cult section of most of the video stores that I frequented in my youth. And it's right at the, you know, right at the top, letter A, so it was always like right at the beginning of the section usually, so you couldn't miss it. And yeah, it's a very it's a very silly movie, and there's something about it, though, that I can see why it's endured, you know? It's just so aware of its own ridiculousness and having fun and sort of taking the piss out of horror movies. And yeah, I just think it's saying, you know, look what we can... look how silly we can make this.
I can say without fear of contradiction that under no circumstances and at no time has the current administration expended any public monies whatsoever for the purchase of the fluffy flower print toilet paper. Now, if there are no further questions...
Thank you, Mr. Press Secretary.
Mr. Secretary, Mr. Secretary!
Just a moment, gentlemen. One more question. The little fellow in the rear.
Bobby Drake, sir, PS-149. I have a question, sir.
Certainly, young man. What would you like to know?
We've heard nothing at all about the growing tomato menace.
Why, tomato? Our correspondents around the country have been asking.
I wouldn't exactly call it a menace, young man. There have been some isolated reports of alleged incidents involving some unusual activity associated with this particular vegetable. But I assure you that this is not and never will become a menace. However, the president, leaving no stone unturned, has called upon our most noted congressional leaders in this field to begin a thorough, intensive, painstaking, and exhaustive investigation into the backgrounds and origins of this interesting quirk of nature. Furthermore, you can assure all of your young readers that this will never become a problem that Americans need fear.
And I think the sequels are surprisingly equally good and sometimes almost better. In fact, they are definitely better. They are finding their way, and the voice of the comedic sort of niche of parody or whatever you want to call it that they're doing in, you know, Return of and Killer Tomatoes Eat France, and they're just a lot of fun. They're fun movies. But it all starts here. And I'd been waiting for this one to come on Blu-ray, so it's really exciting to think we have Attack of the Killer Tomatoes on Blu-ray. I don't know why this... It's not like it's a favorite movie of mine or anything, but it's such an iconic cult movie that the cult movie collector in me is like, well, I gotta get Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. It's a classic. But, so this is a really nice set. The features include newly remastered 4K digital transfer of the film, high definition Blu-ray and standard DVD, 2.0 mono audio uncompressed, audio commentary from writer-director John DiBello, writer co-stars Steve Pierce, and creator Costa Dillon. Very cool track. Very neat to hear their thoughts. 3 deleted scenes, 7 featurettes, including Legacy of a Legend, 14 minutes.
I remember one day right out of high school, I was talking to Costa Dillon. He said, you know, it would be funny to make a movie where maybe a tomato comes out of a sink and it eats a housewife. We could call it Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. And he said the title, and I thought it was just drop-dead funny. And I said, maybe someday we can actually make that movie. And we did. Attack of the Killer Tomatoes began as a title and became a movie.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
It's the funniest title ever made. It's got to be in the top 10 funny titles of all time.
The Attack of the Killer Tomatoes.
We thought just the title would let people know that this was a crazy comedy.
Yeah. That'll probably become like the Rocky, the horror show. You know, be a cult thing.
This is art.
Mom, did you hear that? Well, the first thing you have to realize is Attack of the Killer Tomatoes has absolutely no socially redeeming value whatsoever.
John said, I want to make the most egregious trash I can make because based on my research, that's what sells.
Attack of the Killer Tomatoes was a takeoff on all the gloriously horrible 1950s Japanese horror movies.
What we have developed is, in essence, a half-man, half-robot.
A lot of people had never seen those Japanese movies, so when Attack of the Killer Tomatoes came out, they didn't know what to think. We were doing this a year or two before Airplane. That kind of humor wasn't out yet, so to do non-sequitur comedy with a lot of really stupid gags with an incredibly stupid premise was sort of beyond the mindset of a lot of people.
I can't say it was designed to be bad. I think some things are just serendipity. You set out to be the best you can be, and if the best you can be is the worst you can be, that's okay.
Was recently named as one of the 25 worst films ever made.
So, we worked real hard at being bad. In fact, I recall we actually had some trouble in some of the film festival issues that were built around bad movies, because we'd be disqualified because, after all, we were being bad on purpose.
Crash and Burn, 3 minutes. Famous Foul, 2 minutes. Tomato Mania, 4 minutes. Where Are They Now, 2 minutes. We Told You So, 3 minutes. And Slated for Success, 2 minutes. Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, original 8mm short with optional audio commentary, 17 minutes. Gone with the Babusu Land, the original 8mm short that inspired Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, also with optional commentary, 32 minutes. Original trailer, radio spots, Easter eggs. But man, I'm just pleased as punch to see a movie like Attack of the Killer Tomatoes get this kind of deluxe treatment. I mean, it's literally like Criterion level treatment for a pretty schlocky movie. I remember always loving the fact that in Morgan Stewart's Coming Home, they actually go to see Attack of the Killer Tomatoes, and they can't stop singing the theme song. And I just remember that might have been the first time I'd even heard of it. I can't remember if I'd seen cult movies books before then or not, but it might have been the first time that I was exposed to Attack of the Killer Tomatoes was through that movie. Anyway, great disc, definitely worth a pickup. Love the cover. I've always loved the artwork for Attack of the Killer Tomatoes. Okay, and lastly, number 3 in the MVD Rewind collection set so far is a movie called Black Eagle from 1988.
Van Damme, Van Dangerous, Van Damme, Van Deadly, Van Damme, the one-man wrecking machine. You've seen the Van Damme, but you've never seen him like this. Wham! Bam! Jean-Claude Van Damme, Black Eagle. Wednesday at 8 on Channel 11, New York's movie station.
Back of this one says, this fight is one-on-one. After an F-11 gets shot down over the Mediterranean Sea, the U.S. government cannot afford to lose the top-secret laser tracking device that was on board. But unfortunately, the KGB team led by the infamous André, Jean-Claude Van Damme, are beating the CIA in the race to find it. The CIA has no choice but to call in their best man, master martial artist Ken Tani, Shokasugi. Codename Black Eagle.
Well, the best man for the job is Ken Tani. Codename Black Eagle, but he's on assignment.
I don't care what it is. Pull him out.
He's not available. Every year this time, he has 2 weeks to see his kids. It's the only time he can see them. That's our deal.
He can see his kids later.
Do you want to tell him that?
I don't want to tell him anything. Dean, make it happen now.
In response, the KGB resorts to an all-out war with powerful André matching Ken blow for blow. From legendary action director Eric Carson, The Octagon, Black Eagle also stars Doran Clark from The Warriors, Bruce French from Jurassic Park 3, and William Bassett from House of a Thousand Corpses. So I was a big Jean-Claude Van Damme fan when I was young in high school. I mean, it was a natural extension of my love for Bruce Lee, which led into Chuck Norris, which led into Jean-Claude Van Damme and Steven Seagal and stuff like that.
Since you've been here last for Hard to Kill, we've had a lot of action-adventure stars popping out of the woodwork. Do you go watch the other guys? What do you think of Jeff Speakman or Van Damme? You know, do you know Van Damme?
No.
you've heard of him?
Mm-hmm.
Let's start with him, Steven. What do you think of his work? As a martial artist, first.
Can you change the subject?
Well, I mean, because, like, you guys go back to the martial arts world before you were movie stars, right? I mean, he was like a champion somewhere, and, right, I mean, you...
Well, I mean, I just promised all my mentors that I was going to be a good boy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that that's a matter of opinion, that he was a champion anywhere, you know? And I mean, you know, I'm not being catty or anything. I wish the guy all the best. But there are an awful lot of people who say that that's not true.
How about Jeff Speakman? Nice guy, huh?
But I had never seen Black Eagle for some reason. This one is a little rarer, I guess. And it's definitely an interesting entry in his filmography. It feels not like a Jean-Claude Van Damme movie, but a movie featuring Jean-Claude Van Damme. You know, I mean, he's definitely prominent, but, you know, in later years, he'd be more out front than he is here. So it's, I certainly liked seeing Jean-Claude and Shokuzugi, you know, going at it. That's like pretty fantastic and something that martial arts fans, I would think, would be totally down for. There's a lot of talking in this movie and some stuff I didn't fully understand at the beginning, so I was a little confused by it. But yeah, by the time it got into the martial arts stuff, I was into it. And I just like Jean-Claude, so seeing him pop up every once in a while, you know, like reach up out of the water and grab some dude off a boat and drown him, or, you know, just be generally sneaky and Jean-Claude-y, if you will, was cool. But yeah, this is an interesting third entry in this collection, you know? Like I said, there's a great variety in just these first three movies, so that's pretty cool. I'm very curious to see where this whole collection is going to go, and I hope people will come along for the ride and start checking these out. So the series is successful and they can continue it and it has some longevity and we can really get into some deep cuts, the movies that have we've been waiting on that nobody has been able to secure the rights to or something, I don't know. But I definitely want this series to go on. Anyway, the special features on Black Eagle are high definition Blu-ray and standard DVD presentation, 2.0 audio uncompressed, and Dolby 5.1. It includes the 93-minute theatrical version plus an 104-minute uncut extended version of the film, something called Shokuzugi Martial Arts Legend, that's 22 minutes, and that's featuring new interviews with Shokuzugi and Shane Kasugi and more. And Shane is in this movie. I think they're his kids or whatever, I don't know, but they're in the movie, which is interesting. The Making of Black Eagle, that's 36 minutes, featuring new interviews with director-producer Eric Carson, screenwriter Michael Gonzalez, and stars Shokuzugi, Doran Clark, Shane Kasugi, and Dorada Puzio.
In that motion picture, we used a ninja motif, and it had only been used once before in motion pictures that I know of, and that was in a James Bond film where you saw them going up a volcano, right? But they wasn't featured. This was all about that culture and so on. And as a result of that particular movie, The Octagon, it spawned evidently hundreds of other movies about ninjas. So even Sho Khashoggi, who was the lead in The Octagon, once The Octagon came out, then Sho Khashoggi, the star of Black Eagle, made three ninja movies right in a row for Canon. I got tagged as a martial arts director in movies, having come from a background of Shakespeare, experimental theater, and children's theater. But I enjoyed it. It's a great motif for using allegories and metaphors for all kinds of things that are going on at the time.
So Eric Carson had lots of credits of what we would now consider B movies. And he was introduced to Sunil. He was actually has a cameo role in the film.
Well, yes, it's fun. I was an actor for years in theater, and I usually do a small one. In Black Eagle, I play the CIA chief who goes to the ambassador in Rome and says, here's what we need to do, and we need to do it now, right? And I did that because the actor that I had cast in that part canceled. And I went, oh dear, I'm a long way away and this scene is up in a couple of days. I don't think I can do this. I'll do it myself. And it's a credible job. I think it's okay.
And he was a very nice man. All I can remember is he was a very nice man. When I looked at the completed film, I say that he did an adequate job.
Something called Tales of Jean-Claude Van Damme, 20 minutes. Brand new interviews with cast and crew as they tell stories about working with a legendary action star. The Script and Screenwriters, 27 minutes, featuring Michael Gonzalez, Eric Carson, and more. Deleted scenes, original theatrical trailer. This one is stacked. I mean, this one is almost the most stacked of all these discs, but they're all great. So it's not to say that anyone is better than the other, but I was shocked and pleasantly surprised to see a movie like this get so much special edition love. But again, I think this is indicative of what this line is going to be, and that is very promising and exciting for me. So anyway, that is the first three discs in the MVD Rewind collection. I do recommend them, and I do recommend watching the MVD Rewind collection Facebook group for announcements about upcoming titles, because it's one of those things where it could be anything based on what they're doing. So I'm looking forward to any future announcements in 2018 and the future releases. Anyway, enjoy these. Have a lovely and Blu-ray filled week, and I will talk to you soon. Bye bye.
Squishy, mushy, rotten to the core. They're standing outside your door. Remember Herbert Farbage? While taking out his garbage, he turned around and he did see tomatoes hiding in his tree. Now he's just a memory. I know I'm going to miss her, but tomato ate my sister. Sacramento fell today. They're marching into San Jose. Tomatoes are on their way.